the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday Morning Podcast. Former MMA champ Tyron Woodley is going to fight this Sunday YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul's fantastic. I think it's a second round knockout. I can't wait. We'll get to that interview. Pretty fascinating kid in about 5 minutes. So here's my takeaway on what I watched last night between the New Orleans Saints and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's start with the Saints. Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I never thought he was a great fit in Tampa, which was a fairly dysfunctional organization. He came into the league highly immature, but super talented. He needed a less chaotic environment. And I also thought Bruce Arians was a difficult fit for him. Jameis's judgment on the field and off has never been his strength. And Bruce Arians is more of a big play coach. In fact, Tom Brady had lots of issues early with Bruce Arians' style. It is not highly efficient. It's an over-the-top style. So I think Jameis is going to be rewarded with Sean Payton, who is the best teacher to me in the NFL offensively. Now, I think Andy Reid's the best play designer. I think Sean Payton could be the best teacher. They're both great. I think it's a better fit. Now Sean Payton, like Bruce Arians, can be very emotional. I would love a little more static, a personality. A Frank Reich could be perfect for Jameis Winston. But I think Sean Payton understands this is not a Saints team with a ton of deep threats, with Michael Thomas out. They're not going to put a playbook together and game plans to make Jameis Winston carry the football team. This is a good defense. It's well coached. It's an excellent offensive line. They've got a running game. And they've been mostly a detail-oriented, efficient offense, not a big play offense in New Orleans for the last 3 or 4 years with Drew Brees. And let's be honest about this. What do we say about rookie quarterbacks? They need a year in the system before they play. Jameis Winston's been in the system for a year. I think he's going to shock people. I think he's going to win this job. I thought he played really well in the first half last night. I think he's a big, strong guy who has shown me a willingness to be coached, to take a small salary. He's reshaped his body. I think he's going to surprise people. I think everybody's waiting for Matt Stafford to blow the league up with the Rams. Well, I would argue the Saints have a better offensive line. And now, because of Cam Akers' injury, a better running game. They just have an older offensive coach. The Rams have Sean McVay. Watch Jameis Winston put together a really highly productive season with fewer mistakes. I don't love his judgment, but I think he's always thrown a beautiful deep ball, an incredibly catchable football. I just thought Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers were an odd fit. The Saints are very structured, very smart, highly efficient, and I think Sean Payton's a very strong fit for Jameis Winston, who should get the job, and I think will flourish with the team. Let's go to the Jaguars. So Urban Meyer gets hired. This is a really, really rough spot. The Jaguars, you can argue, don't have a single elite unit. In fact, I don't think it's an argument. Trevor Lawrence is going to play under duress for virtually every snap. They have no identity. That's going to take time. So, you know, people are concerned about Urban Meyer. I'm not. He hired a lot of guys, Brian Schottenheimer, Daryl Bevel, who've been around the NFL for 20 plus years. I don't worry about that. What I worry about is this team finding an offensive identity. Now, Trevor Lawrence had a couple of nice third down pickups and a drive with about 6-7 minutes left in this second quarter. He's big. He's strong. He's got great feet. He moves well. He's really a gifted player. But I find it really hard to evaluate Trevor Lawrence. This is a bad football team. It's a 5 or 6 win team, and that's mostly because they're in the same division with the Houston Texans. If you put this team in the NFC West, they wouldn't win a division game. You know, it was coincidental last night. Both Jameis Winston and Trevor Lawrence are from the ACC, and both were highly productive in the ACC. But it really illustrates where you land matters A lot of people gave up on Jameis Winston, and yet last night, behind an excellent offensive line, an organization that lacks chaos, a very talented roster, Jameis Winston looked really, really comfortable. The more highly touted prospect, Trevor Lawrence, has landed with a rookie head coach and an egregiously bad roster, and he looked rattled and was running around, although very talented. We talk about this all the time. Where do you land? Where do you land? And it was just interesting to watch these two ACC stars. The difference, of course, is Jameis, in my opinion, less talented, looked far more comfortable, and therefore was far more productive. And Trevor Lawrence looked uncomfortable, flushed out of the pocket multiple times, not nearly as productive. His receivers get no separation. It just illustrates, when you look at all these quarterbacks, where do they land? And Trevor Lawrence, all I can wish you is the best of luck. Learn to slide. All right. Just went to a fight this past weekend in Vegas. Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao was overwhelmed. Hung in there, but lost on all three judges' cards. This Sunday, it's a different kind of fight. Former MMA guy Tyron Woodley, a big guy, takes on YouTuber Jake Paul. Now, this will not be a first-round knockout. Woodley is a big dude. But this stuff is interesting. And the volume, we just covered the WWE. We're into events. We're an entertainment company. This is an event. And I think Jake Paul's a fascinating personality, and I think he's legit. I think boxing right now is looking for charismatic people. And Jake Paul, second, third round knockout, is going to get it this weekend. All right, so here's my thing. There had to be a moment when you just said, F it, I'm going to go box. Like, where were you? Where was the moment? By the way, that's a big leap. That's like deciding I'm going to get on motorcycles and jump over cars. I'm going to be a daredevil. You got to sleep on that, right? Like, where was the moment when you decided to box?
I think I was in my living room in Los Angeles, like back in my Calabasas house. And these YouTubers were, you know, from the UK, were saying they wanted to fight me and my brother. And I remember calling him and being like, yo, let's beat these dudes up. Like, they're talking shit right now. This isn't cool. Let's put an end to this. And that was really the moment where the next day we're training like professional boxers. So it's been a crazy journey since then.
You know, and I think I told you this last time we talked, if somebody is vested emotionally, I'm in. I don't want to hear about, well, it's a shtick. It's like, no, I can sense a shtick. I've been doing this 30 years. I know when a guy's a phony. I know when a guy's just trying to get a bag. Like, I know that.
100%.
This doesn't, I mean, you've made a great life. I can look in your house right now. You got a nice place, right? Like, that's not about that. Training for boxing is hard. When I was a kid in Vegas, my first job out of college, Jake, I went to Johnny Toko's gym in Vegas. It is long, hard, brutal. Was there ever a moment training you thought, ugh, what did I get myself into?
You know, there's been tough moments, but I've never, my why has never been questioned. You know, I've always known why I'm doing this, and there's always been a motivation. I've never lacked motivation at all. There's definitely been tough moments where I'm like, man, this is the hardest sport in the world. There's been moments where I'm like, this is, you know, becoming monotonous. It's the same thing day in, day out.
Yes.
It's nonstop. But I think that routine and that discipline has kept me out of a lot of trouble, and given, you know, I've learned a lot about myself through that process, and it's truly given me new hope, new inspiration, and a lot to fight for.
Go back to the moment you're walking into the ring for the first time. Is the feeling nerves, anxiety, pumped? Like, just go to that 2-minute walk. Where were you emotionally?
I was, for my first fight, I was definitely nervous. I didn't really know what to expect. And I was in Manchester, and the stadium was sold out, 30,000 people. And they were there rooting against me. You know, they weren't Jake Paul fans. We were in our enemy's territory. We were on their home field. So these people are booing me, throwing things at me. And I was like, man, this is crazy. You know, I thought I was going to be prepared for this, but this is not what I expected, for sure. But I literally got up into the ring and literally all the eyes were on me and I could feel everyone's eyes on me. And there's really no other feeling like that in the world. 30,000 people staring at you, right before you're about to, pummel some dude's face in.
And did you know instantly you were going to win?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I knew going into it, I was going to win my first fight. That's the mentality I've always had. I'm very confident, but it's because of my preparation and my training and knowing that I'm also naturally talented at this sport. You know, I could sit here and be like, yo, I'm going to go to the NBA. And I'm going to try and join a team, but I can't dunk. I'm not good at shooting, but boxing, I'm naturally talented. I'm fast. I understand the art of it. I have knockout power. And I just so happen to be good at it.
You are now a favorite, a betting favorite over Tyron Woodley. I think it's a mistake when UFC guys, like I think UFC is its own classification. Boxing's its own classification. I mean, we saw Michael Jordan try baseball. You could say, well, it's sports. It didn't work. I've seen Randy Moss try basketball. It didn't work. Like, I think you're going to win, and I think you're going to win quickly. Do you envision – you watch a ton of UFC, I'm sure. How do you envision the fight going? Or does that not even matter to you? You just go and just free flow, and you just go with what your spirit and what the – there's no game plan.
Yeah, there's definitely a game plan that my coaches and I have going into the fight, a very specific game plan. However, this is something where – you know, we don't know how Tyron's going to come out. So we're sort of prepared for all things that happen on the night. But we have a general idea of how we think he's going to come out and how we think it's going to go. And we'll adapt from there. You know, when that bell rings, everything sort of becomes second nature and it's like autopilot is on and you just start fighting and that's it.
Okay, 0 to 10. What's his punching power?
His punching power, probably like a 7.5, 8.
Okay, where's Conor McGregor's punching power?
Probably 7.5, 8.
Okay, so you've got to be careful. You've offered Conor $50 million to fight. When you look at Conor, where do you see his vulnerabilities?
Now I think, you know, he's just lost touch of the game. You know, he's doesn't have that motivation anymore. He's not that young, hungry fighter. And I will outwork him when and if that fight does happen. But to your point, I do think Tyron is almost a harder opponent than Conor McGregor. Just because of the natural size. Conor walks around 155. Tyron walks around at 205. So, you know, this is a bigger guy, a stronger guy, a more explosive guy, I think. So in many ways, this might even be a harder fight than when I faced Conor McGregor.
Former MMA champ Tyron Woodley enters the boxing ring this Sunday to take on YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul. I love Jake Paul. And FanDuel Sportsbook's giving new customers exclusively a 30-to-1 odds on either fighter to win. Either one. That's right. Now's the perfect time. Give FanDuel a shot. $150 on a $5 bet. Honestly, you could win it. FanDuel's always hooking you up with exclusive odd boosts, promotions, so much more. It's why it's America's number one sportsbook. Don't miss out. Chance to win $150 on a $5 bet. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That's all you do. Sign up, promo code Colin. I'm on there every day. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check it out. Promo code Colin. C-O-L-I-N. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See sportsbookfanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Virginia, Colorado, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. I grew up with Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali understood the showmanship of boxing. Frazier didn't. He was just a badass. And let's be honest, a big component to what you do, showmanship matters. Listen, Nate Diaz is a great fighter. He's not a showman. You know, Connor is. Like, are you getting to a point now where you're driving the gate? Do you believe you're driving the gate for this fight?
100%. I've carried this whole entire promotion on my back. You know, Tyron hasn't done a thing to promote this fight. But I'm used to that. That's the way it's been really for all my fights. I think Ben Askren did the best job of, you know, creating content and shit talking back. But you're right. Like, a huge part of this is showmanship. People forget that this is a business disguised as a sport. And that's really what's going on here. With boxing, and it's a show business at the end of the day. And then that's why Conor McGregor has, you know, become one of the wealthiest fighters ever and the highest paid athlete this past year, is because of his mouth, because of his marketing, because of his social media.
Is there a UFC fighter today that you watch and you say to your, because there's a lot of different principles. Some guys legs, some guys wrestlers, some guys can box. Is there a UFC fighter today that you look at Jake and go, okay, that guy would present a problem, his style, his size?
You know, people in my weight class, not really. You know, coming to the ring, I don't see who is out there. You know, I think Kamaru Usman is probably the right this guy around my weight class. So, and again, I've said I'll fight him. You know, he was like, oh, I'm not fighting some Disney kid, da da da. It's like, bro, come and get the biggest payday of your life. I'll take him on any single day of the week. He just has to tell his boss, Dana White, to let him out of his contract. That's the difference between me. I'm my own boss. I make my own decisions, and I can fight whoever, whenever I want.
I asked Dana White about you, and Dana said, no, I mean, the kid can fight. The kid's a boxer. Do you believe it would help UFC to fight you or help you? Like, where do you think the leverage is on that?
I think right now, the UFC is sort of on a decline. They've lost all their biggest stars. Some of their big stars have been losing. It's looking bad. Bellator is on the come up, heavy. The bare knuckle fighting is very, very entertaining. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but these guys are These guys are knocking each other out, bleeding. Like, it's super entertaining. And by the way, boxing is making a massive comeback with the lightweight division, the heavyweight division, the Paul brothers being thrown into the equation. So it's not looking good for the UFC right now at all. And I think Dana knows that. So I have all the leverage in the world over them.
You had your nickname was the problem child. So for people, so I looked into your story and you were from Ohio, and you know, I'm like a different generation. I'm mid 50s. And so I had a couple buddies that are like, what is it about Jake Paul? And I said, I just think he's really committed. I think boxing needs him. I think he's tough. Were you a fighter in high school? I mean, listen, most of the time, Jake, brothers wrestle, brothers fight. I didn't have a brother, I had a sister. So I'm a lover, not a fighter. If I'd have grown up with a brother and we're dunking on each other and we're playing basketball and tackling, I just think it's innate. Like, I do think having a brother makes you tougher. Were you a fighter early?
For sure. You know, I've always had it in me, and my brother was always picking on me, and he weighed a ton more and was always like trying to beat me up. So I had to learn how to fight back, and I grew up wrestling. So, you know, wrestling is a very, very tough sport that has a lot of similarities with boxing, the angles, you know, the footwork, the overall commitment, the cardio is pretty much the same. So yeah, it's weird. Like I feel like I was sort of made to do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God, if you wrestled, you could be a UFC fighter, but I almost think boxing works better for you because your power can be somewhat mitigated in UFC. I mean, if somebody takes your legs out, they're not nearly as strong as you, but you've watched UFC. There are guys that just, they are attack dogs. And I almost think boxing, you could do UFC, but I think boxing fits your, that's my interpretation, that boxing is better for you because people can't take away your power.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I've just been doing it for, you know, 3.5 years now. And so I've gotten really, really good in that short amount of time. And I love the, you know, aspect of striking, the little nuances and the inside fighting. To me, it's more of a science than MMA. You see guys in MMA who, you know, can be winning fights and they're doing really good. And then all of a sudden they just get taken down and submitted and then they lose.
It's impossible to go undefeated. It's almost impossible. I mean, Habib did, but you can go undefeated in boxing where you're just literally a bigger, stronger or more skilled fighter. It's almost impossible to go undefeated in UFC.
No, exactly. It's you're rolling the dice. You can get hit with something at any moment or get put into a submission at any moment. You know, with boxing, it's you know, the skill wins at the end of the day. The skill and the determination and the cardio is what wins in boxing.
You know, Floyd Mayweather's interesting because I've never found him, I'm not debating he's great, but I never found him truly captivating like I did Pacquiao in his prime, Roberto Duran in his prime, Sugar Ray Leonard, Hitman Hearns, Hagler, Mike Tyson. You know, I'm old enough, I remember Foreman, Ken Norton, Ali. Could I make the argument Mayweather's not been good for boxing? He's been bad for it?
I agree on certain levels. You know, he has brought this like weird, flashy, sort of materialistic, you know, everything's about money and strippers, and he's brought that to the sport, and that was all it knew, all the sport knew for many, many years. And I don't think that's really what the sport is about at the end of the day. I think we need to bring the sport back to like the epitome of Rocky. Like, who is Rocky? That's that story, you know, that those underdogs coming from nothing.
Yes.
You know, the ups and downs, you know, Tyson Fury's story is even inspiring, you know, when becoming the heavyweight champ, losing it all, like going through mental depression and then, you know, coming back. Those are the boxing stories that are good for the sport. Floyd, yeah, Floyd, you would definitely make the argument that Floyd's been good, but he's also been bad for sure.
You know, Jake, in a weird way, sports is a copycat league. Like the Warriors dominated shooting threes. And then a lot of teams that didn't have good 3-point shooters said, we've got to do it. Well, it works if you have Kevin Durant, Stephen Clay. If you got a bunch of, you know, there are a lot of teams that tried to do threes and just didn't have elite shooters. And Mayweather has given sort of defensive boxing and points over power. He no longer has the power. You know that. That I think he's given sort of a license to tactically win, but I don't think it's that fascinating to watch. Whereas Muhammad Ali could beat you with rope-a-dope. He could slug with Frazier and Norton. He could be a defensive fighter, a counter puncher. Because I think sports, you watch Mayweather and you think, oh,
I don't have to take many shots. You go back to the Leonard, the Hearns, the Hagler, the Duran. You had to mix it up. There was a badge of honor. You mixed it up. Like you just wouldn't be a defensive fighter. And I think that's the part that turns me off stylistically. Does it turn you off? When I watch Mayweather, I think, and Pacquiao doesn't have the power he used to, but I still think Manny can hit. Manny can hurt you.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's one of Floyd's biggest criticisms is boring fights. And I agree. No one wants to tune in and watch a 12-round fight where it's just some pity patter back and forth and he technically wins. People want knockouts. People want blood. People want highlight reel, you know, punches and combinations. You know, they want excitement. They want people to sit there and slug with each other. They want knockdowns. And yeah, Floyd in his biggest fights didn't really deliver any of that. So I agree. But again, but then where you have to give him credit is his showmanship. You know, he brought the eyeballs. He brought the excitement and he built his brand up. And that's why people wanted to watch him even more so than his actual boxing ability.
So Woodley's training with him. You said it's a disadvantage. Why?
I think the way to grow in this sport is to have one or two coaches that are the same day in and day out, have a routine, a game plan, and execute that every single day and get better at very specific things, small things, the basics every single day at Woodley's point in his career to switch up striking coaches to Floyd Mayweather and to try and learn or, you know, see what Floyd's going to teach him. It's not going to be very beneficial. There's only so much you can learn in that amount of time. The best thing Tyron could have done is stick with his striking coach and just get better at what he was already doing naturally. You know, he's floating around all these different coaches and Lord knows what his game plan is or, you know, what he's going to come in there looking like or have even practiced to beat me.
Do you think he's working as hard as you?
No, absolutely not. There's no possible way he's working harder than me. You know, I have the best team from strength and conditioning to boxing coaches to recovery coaches. You know, just my hunger, my drive, my motivation. You know, I'm doing all the little things right that allow me to train harder every single day. And I want it more. I know I want it more. Quite frankly, there's nobody in the sport right now who wants to win as bad as me. I can guarantee that. And so he can't work a day. One day in this training camp is harder than his whole camp, guaranteed.
What time do you get up in the morning?
It's different depending on the day. But we go to sleep late because the fight is at night. So we build our schedule to sort of come alive in the nighttime. But I try to get 10 hours of sleep for like maximum recovery.
Do you start your day with some weight work, road work? You obviously probably do a majority of sparring at night because that's when the fight is. What does your day look like training?
So today, wake up, do some meditation, envision winning, get my mind right, say my affirmations in the mirror. I hit the ice bath. Then I do a little stretch for some recovery. And then I watched sparring film with my coaches for like 45 minutes of my last sparring session. And then, in like an hour and a half here, I'll hit like a 5-6 mile jog.
You will outdoors or indoors, treadmill or road work?
Outdoors. And then, and then back into some stretching recovery after that.
Let me ask you about breathing. Your first couple fights, not that you would hyperventilate, but anxiety, your heartbeat is racing and that can suck oxygen. You know, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I know enough that if you get, when I used to run marathons or half marathons, I'd get so amped up my first 3 or 4 miles, you know, I'd hit mile six and I'm like, God, I feel shot. How do you monitor that? How do you take yourself? Because you can't simulate walking into that ring. In your early fights, Jake, has it been difficult to kind of pull yourself back because of the anxiety and the heartbeat, the elevation of that?
After my first fight, it was easy from there on out. And I really don't get nervous anymore.
Really?
I'm excited for the match to start. I've sparred so many times against very hard people that the preparation is there. And this is the fun part for me. This next 10 days is the fun part. Like I'm been busting my ass day in and day out for 100 days. Now I get to fly to my hometown, do the media, mess around, hang with my family. The training camp's over. You know, I get to, you know, see my opponent, talk shit face to face with him, troll him, make him look like an idiot. And I get paid to do all this. And then the fight night and then the paycheck comes. This is the fun part right now.
By the way, I remember when Ali fought Sonny Liston years ago, he said he knew he had him beat in the press conference. In your brief career, do you get a sense of the fighter in that press conference or in that way?
Yeah, for sure. But you know, it's with some fighters, it shows more than others. When I was fighting Nate Robinson, when I saw him in the press conference, I was like, oh, I'm going to beat this guy easily. Ben Askren, the weigh-in, the face-to-face I did with him the day before the fight, I realized like the things he was saying to me, I realized this guy has no idea what he's getting himself into. And at that exact moment, the day before the fight, I was like, oh, I know I'm going to beat this guy. So each fight it's different. And yeah, I guess we'll see. I think fight week tells a lot for sure.
Do you take 2 or 3 days before the fight off? Like when are you in your, are you now dialed in for the fight or are you building and then 48 hours out? Like, are you in a zone? The physical work is done.
Yeah, physical work's done. I'm chilling, resting, keeping my mind off of the fight, just hanging out with my friends. Like it, you would think I was just like had nothing going on in a couple of days, resting the body, feet up, just chilling. Yeah, just relaxing as much as possible.
Finally, there's an old feeling in sitcoms, like you're probably too young to remember. You probably didn't watch Friends, but it was really popular, right? And there's an old theory that you want the characters to flirt, but not ever date because it ruins it.
Yeah.
You want them to keep, you want to get close, close. And I think, I don't really want you to fight Logan. I want people to talk about it. I want people to think about it. I want people to suggest it. But I think it's better that you don't fight and that it's a topic more than a reality. I don't know if it's weird. I don't know if I want to watch it. I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, and honestly, I haven't heard anyone describe it in that way. And that's the best description I've heard of it because I feel the same exact way. It's like it's a topic people want us to. I could see it happening, but I don't know if I want it to happen. I don't know how I feel truly deep down about it. Our parents don't want us to do it. So yeah, it is this like weird thing. So who knows if it'll ever happen.
Even now watching you talk about it, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even know if I don't know. It's just, you're right. It's uncomfortable. It's like, if we're going to do that, like, it's so crazy to actually think about it. Like I'm just trying to think like the bell rings and me and my brother are fighting in front of a bunch of people. Like that's pretty crazy, but who knows? Who knows what will happen?
Hey, listen, good luck to you. I'm really a fan. I think you're totally legit, totally into it. I think you have real power. And I think the 3 times I've seen you fight, I think your footwork gets better. And I'm no expert on boxing, but I think you feel more comfortable. You're twitchier. You feel more comfortable. You move better. That's my from what I've seen, that's my interpretation. I may be just talking out of my ass, but that's what I see.
No, for sure. You know, and that's just a small part of what I've been able to show. So hopefully I can show more of this fight.
Hey, kick butt. Thanks,
thank you, man. I appreciate you having me.
Volume.